We're really crowded for time because I've got a four-hour seminar to do in 60 minutes. And I'll try. Number one, you have sheet number one. I want to open with prayer in a moment. Sometime, I am a truck stop chaplain, so I will not be using those Hebrew words. I'm accustomed to using Jesus Christ. I tell truck drivers, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So I can't switch over. I got to do what I do. So, the sheet that you have on your lap or in front of you should be adequate to cover baptism. So I would like to do my part of baptism in about 10 minutes, actually, and then give you a chance to ask a few questions. I've got a card here. Where's my... would you give everybody one of these? Some people resent and object, whatever the term may be, to the fact that we insist, or at least I insist, you must be baptized underwater immersion. That is what Jesus Christ said. And if he's the boss, we should do what he said. Well, of course, you got a problem there for a lot of people. They think we're condemning them to hell for an eternal torture chamber if they're not baptized by underwater immersion, which is not at all the case. They don't understand the big picture. One of my favorite questions 60 years ago, 65 years ago, if I've got the booklet here, I did have, is this the only day of salvation? If this is the only day of salvation, Christianity is a dismal failure. Complete failure. Amen. Because billions and billions of people are alive now who never heard of Jesus Christ. You got 2,500 languages that don't have the Bible. We're failing. If the world is right. The good news is the world is wrong. This is not the today is not the only day of salvation. So Jesus said, and I want to use my one on baptism. I've got some notes on it. Number one, baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We are baptized into the death of Christ. And that's mentioned here. Romans 6 makes that rather clear. Everyone must be baptized to enter the kingdom. It does not mean they've lost their salvation. Because I was a sprinkled Lutheran Catholic. In case you read my bio, that is based on Revelation 17, verse 5. I was sprinkled. I came to realize years later, hey, that's not baptism. I remember the question I asked in the catechism, why do we baptize little bitty babies? And I thought, yeah, why do we? Well, their excuse for that is that it's... Oh, thank you. They're included in all nations. Little babies are included in all nations. So we must get them baptized. I was in the presence of a Catholic embalmer. I was working... I actually have a funeral director's license. I was working part-time as one. And I saw him open an envelope with a death certificate of a baby. And he was very disappointed. He said, oh no, that baby did live. He was disappointed the baby lived a little bit. Because it puts on the death certificate, it lived 5 minutes or whatever it may be, 77 years or 5 minutes. Well, I said, okay, where is that baby now? He said, in limbo forever, can never get out. That's their teaching. I, at a truck stop where I am the chaplain, a woman was mad at God. I don't blame her a bit. Because her 15-year-old daughter came running home from church one Sunday morning crying because she learned at church her brother was suffering in hell right now. That's their belief. Not true at all. They're just dead, asleep. That's the teaching of the Bible. It does symbolize his death, burial, and resurrection. There's enough information on here that I could just skip the whole thing, but I want to cover some of the items. Hebrews 6, verse 2, I mentioned in the brochure, or it is mentioned there, doctrine of baptisms, plural. Why is it plural? Does that include being rebaptized? Well, I jotted down a few examples of why it might be plural. Hebrews 6, verse 2. I know a man that I talked to who has given sermons here who has been baptized twice in the River Jordan. You cannot open your Bible and prove that's wrong. It may have been a false baptism at the age of 5. It could be called a baptism. We do say that. I talked to people. I was baptized when I was a baby. Well, you weren't baptized. You were sprinkled, probably. Can you be rebaptized? The answer is absolutely yes. It's in Acts 19. You can be rebaptized. Some should be. I'm not saying you should be, because I don't know. We have seats all over. Just walk anywhere, sit anywhere. You can be rebaptized. Some, perhaps, and I talk to people, ask them, have you been baptized? They say, well, yeah, I think so. Come on, guys. Brothers and sisters, you ought to know something about the day you were baptized. Maybe, now I don't mean the temperature of the water, because some people may have broken ice, and I don't believe that's necessary. But I was baptized in March 1963. Very significant date. It's a little over 50 years ago. Now, the Bible talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. It's kind of like, do it now or you'll get the fire later. Because there will be, if you want to call that baptism, people will be thrown into the lake of fire a little over 1,000 years from now. If in doubt, if you are in doubt, then why would you not be rebaptized? I said, if you're in doubt. Never say to your kids, you can't drive the car until you're baptized. That'd be a pretty good reason to get baptized. Physically, but not spiritually. Don't tell your daughter she can't get married until she's baptized. You're inviting trouble, because spiritual trouble. Oh, they'll get baptized. They'll get dunked. I don't like that word dunked, because it's kind of like Turkey Day and Thanksgiving. I don't like that either. It's Thanksgiving Day, and you should be baptized by immersion. By the way, I do have a note here at the bottom. Christ baptized nobody. He did not baptize anyone. There's a reason for that. You want to know the reason? Raise your hand if you want to know the reason. Because of our human nature. That's all. People would think their baptism was better or they're more spiritual. Well, Jesus baptized me. Paul referred to that when he talked about some were of Apollos and some this and some that. Shouldn't do that. Christ did not baptize anybody. Ephesians 4, verse 5 at the bottom where I wrote, one body, one spirit, one baptism, one method. That's what that means. One baptism into one spiritual body. By the way, the top part of this that's typed, I took this from a church in Oak Grove where I have baptized a couple of truck drivers. They've got this right, pretty much. But you know what's missing? If you look this over, you had time to look it over. You haven't had time. I realize that. What's missing is something that's required. The laying on of hands. I don't think they do that. It's not mentioned here at all. And at the bottom where I printed my stuff, they put, have you been baptized the Bible way? They think they're doing it the Bible way without the laying on of hands. If you haven't had hands laid on you when you were baptized, It needs to be done. That can be done here, if you wish. Is there a waiting period for baptism? That's answered on here. Sometimes they were baptized the very same hour. No, there's no waiting line. Well, there might be a waiting line. Can anybody in this room baptize? Yes. Yes. Ma'am, would you feel free baptizing someone?
No.
Then don't do it. Would you feel free baptizing someone? I want to find a woman who would say yes.
I think I
might. I agree with you. And I agree with you. If you, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you don't feel right about it, don't do it. But on the day of, remember when they baptized 3,000 in one day? You think that was just one person? You think they used a fire hose and sprinkled all of them? One at a time. If you have God's Spirit and you've had hands laid on you, you can baptize. But don't feel, you know, as I said, do not do it if you don't feel right about it. Acts 2:38 is the answer. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, questions? Good. I don't mean good that I don't want any. I mean, yes, sir.
Being that baptism is a first century Jewish tradition, Would we not want to look to
the Jews
to see a little bit about what they think about baptism or what they say about baptism?
Sure. But I have read, I haven't checked it out, I read that the Jews finally got to where they only baptized Gentiles as they came in. They didn't do baptism for their own people because they were so self-righteous and thought they were it. That's why Peter had to write the last verse that Peter wrote, grow. He needed to grow. He was a prejudiced man.
For those of us who have been baptized but did not have hands laid upon us, when and where can we have that done now?
What was the question?
We can do it behind those chairs.
What was the question?
He says, when could we have hands laid on us here if you were baptized properly and you want to have hands laid on you? I would feel comfortable doing that if you request it. And if the founder of this organization, if Tim feels comfortable doing that, then you ought to ask him to do it.
Laying on of hands, does there need to be two witnesses
or no? I didn't hear.
Laying on of hands, does there need to be two witnesses or no?
No.
I think there's any
never hurts. If you think there should, there should.
Purpose.
The Bible principle is yes, two or three witnesses. There is an exception to two or three witnesses. When the man who killed, I believe it was the guy who killed Saul, went to David and said, "I finished him off for you." David said, "You are your own witness. You get death."
I believe that was it, Philip and the eunuch. And he asked to be baptized, and they went down into the water. I don't believe there was more than two people there for that.
Thank you. Good example. Philip.
Repeat that.
When Philip baptized the eunuch, according to the Bible, there's only two of them. He and the eunuch. Ethiopian. They, two.
Hands,
so.
Right? He didn't lay on hands.
Pardon?
He didn't lay hands on them.
How do you know?
Well,
does it
say
it didn't say
you lay hands on in a prayer after baptism?
After the baptism.
Oh yeah. No, you don't keep them down while you're laying hands.
No, I do that, but I meant
that's the Baptist way.
No, you simply lay hands on them and pray for God's Holy Spirit. I have examples on the bottom of the sheet where they were baptized and then after laying on of hands, they received the Holy Spirit. There is also the example I have there where they received the Holy Spirit before baptism. That was for the example of proving that Gentiles are coming in and going to become Christians.
Our other
first accept at their own hazard that they have been regarded by God as baptized too.
Oh, I know. That's 100%.
Well, there's exceptions is what I'm trying to make to the point.
There's an exception to running a red light.
Yeah.
I ran a red light with students in a driver education car. Deliberately, on purpose. Police car came up behind us with his red light on. I just told my student, go through the light and pull to the right. There's an exception to almost everything.
Okay, you said there's one thing left out of this. Preceding baptism, should there not be repentance?
Oh, 100% yes.
So that, see, you don't have that on here. In other words, you've got to have repentance.
Okay, add it. I'm not going to look, but all of you add it. You must repent. Believe. What did they? It's on there if you read Acts 2:38. What must we do? Repent and be baptized.
As I understand the mikvah, well, I'm not sure about the mikvah, but in John's baptism, one man did not actually immerse the other. They immersed themselves. Is that right? They were completely under. Because when I was baptized, my salvation years and years ago, someone actually did the baptism, and every baptism in the church I've seen is like that. But as I'm understanding lately, that in Christ's time they went down themselves, they baptized themselves with someone there who was residing. Is that right or wrong?
I never heard of it. I'll be honest with you.
Really?
I never heard of immersing yourself. What I do when I baptize a couple of people.
No.
Not a lot.
You didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
Well, I didn't mean to say that. Baptize
the
Let's hold it so we can hear her.
Well, my question was, as I understand it now from the Hebraic explanation, what I'm picking up is that, like when John baptized, he presided over it, but he himself did not physically immerse like Yeshua into the water, but the person who was receiving the baptism went down on their own, completely covering their head, everything, like a mikvah, and then came back up. But it wasn't physical, someone else putting you down, but it was more.
You know, you can get real technical. All you got to do is be immersed according to the Bible.
Well, I just wondered.
I have people hold your nose shut. I will hold you down for 2 seconds. It symbolizes death. You're not breathing. That's death. You're underwater. That's burial. You come up out. That's his resurrection. And you're to be a new man. No longer will you sin. Purposefully. You will sin. Yes, sir.
I guess I was going to pick up on hers. Number one, I had a couple points I was going to ask about. One was, you said earlier that the Jews did not baptize their own, but yet it says that in the baptism of John that hundreds and hundreds of Pharisees came to John's baptism. And so it would indicate that Pharisees being, by definition, Jewish, that they did come and they did consider it important to be baptized. And then secondly is hers. I've got a picture. I got a photograph of Yeshua being baptized. But I've got a picture. It's 150 A.D. of a drawing on a catacomb in Italy where the people, the Christians that were being persecuted, they would draw on these catacomb things. They had one drawing of a man being in the water, coming out of the water by himself with another person on the bank and a dove coming in, which has been pretty much understood to be a drawing that someone did of baptism in that day of the Messiah. So,
when I first came into Hebrew Roots, a group of us, we did a mitzvah and we baptized our own self with the instructions of someone that was praying with the man, and we were instructed to forth if there was anything we had sinned in our life or where we went to repent between. But anyway, we immersed our own selves and came up. And we did that in the Jordan River. I mean, the Red Sea.
Well, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Get immersed. That's all I'm saying.
Just something I've been thinking about. It seems like all the immersions is always done with clean water.
I have the first paper.
And
is it
I've
up
never
there?
Heard an immersion in the scriptures done in salt water. So I've often wondered if the immersion should always be in either a fresh water or moving water.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, people have added too many rules, like you got to be flowing water. Look, if it's in the book, if it's in the Bible, do it. Don't add man-made rules. You may know my background. I was in the Worldwide Church of God over 30 years, or about 30. And I finally kept saying, I wish they would speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. The Bible says, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's underwater. Next subject is the unpardonable sin. Most of you are aware of Matthew, where Jesus said, all sin can be forgiven except one, and that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If there is one, I had a little over 50 of these. I didn't have any idea. When I was here at breakup sessions last year, we never had quite this many. Here's another one. I got some more here. There has to be an answer in the Bible to the unpardonable sin. There absolutely will be. Too many people don't know about Hebrews, where it's explained. The unpardonable sin is explained. If there's an extra copy anywhere, if any of you want one of these, I can go have some made, either at the office or downtown, or I can mail you one, because the unpardonable sin article, without my addition, is what was in the Bible Advocate magazine from the Church of God Seventh Day, headquartered in Denver. And he put I know him personally. He put a disclaimer at the end because they don't quite agree with everything I'm saying in the article. You may not agree 100% with everything I say this morning, yet. It's like I can jokingly tell truck drivers, listen to me now or listen to me later. I know what I'm talking about. I give the example to them. I says, there's a Wendy's downstairs. I said, you guys could go down and grab an 18-year-old and ask him, would you like to drive a truck? He may enthusiastically say yes. And you say, well, I'll spend the rest of the afternoon with you, and we'll get you to where you can drive a truck. And he might be able to take that truck to the East Coast and hit I-95. But he wouldn't have a CDL. That's a commercial driver's license for over-the-road drivers. Now, how is that significant spiritually? Think. You've got a whole lot of people preaching. They don't have the Spirit of God. I know for a fact they don't have the Spirit of God. How would they resist any of the Ten Commandments? Because Jesus referred so many times, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. It's Matthew 12:31. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. You can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you never had the Holy Spirit. Listen to that carefully. Open your ears, turn on your brain. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you never had the Holy Spirit. That's good news. Because 65 years ago, I asked the question and wanted to know, what happens to the Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist if he's never heard of Jesus Christ? He dies. Most people will tell you, well, they go to hell. And they stay there for eternity. My response was, well, then God can put me there with him. Because it doesn't make sense. It isn't just. It doesn't match the Bible. The Bible says, how shall they believe if they have not heard? Acts 17. I don't think I have that one on here. Acts 17:30, if you wish to add it. In the past, God winked at sin. That means he overlooked. He that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, he's the one held accountable. The dead Buddhist is just dead and asleep. He didn't go to hell, unless you want to call the grave that. That's another issue. But he's asleep, waiting for the resurrection, just like the Apostle Paul. Jesus said in three verses before the most memorized verse in the Bible. John 3:16 is the most memorized. And by the way, there's one important word in that verse that they don't understand. Perish. God so loved the world, whoever believes him should not perish. One of the articles I wrote and gave out, I said, if a ship at sea sinks and all aboard perish, we assume they're dead. But when the Bible says the wicked are going to perish, oh, I see, that means they're alive somewhere in a torture chamber? Come on. Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to go wake him. I don't know where you are spiritually. I ran into a couple of guys who, we had hands raised in the auditorium. First feast, so I don't know where you are spiritually. But get grounded. You could soon know more than some preachers because they were taught wrong. And they're just repeating what they say. Kind of like when I went through a cave here in Missouri. The tour guide said, well, this cave is 70 million years old. No, I think it was 40 million. Doesn't make a lot of difference. The point is, I asked her at the end, how do you know this thing is 40 million years old? And she said, well, this cave was discovered 70 years ago. And in 70 years, she did her fingers like this. It's grown that much. Makes no sense at all. That cave was formed during Noah's flood. So I went outside after we were through. Another tour guide sitting on a bench by himself. So I sat down. We talked. I told him what she said and what I thought. Here's what he said. Well, you're probably right, but this is what we're told to say. Preachers are doing the same thing, guys. That's what they're told to say.
And they're lucky if they've grown that much. Good
boy. You may be right. You can read over this in detail later, but the point is, here I offered a Bible to a Muslim woman, and she calmly said to me, respectfully, no, I just believe what my parents taught me, and there are people who want to send her to hell for that, for obeying her parents. Shame on you. God has to open her mind to understanding. Write your questions in your brain and keep them for a few more minutes, please. 2 Peter 2:21 is a very significant verse. 2 Peter 2:21. I did add it. It was supposed to be on this article, and it didn't get in there. It would be better to never have known the truth than to know and fall away.
Why?
Why? I sidestepped one question, but I'll deal with that one. Why? Simply because they haven't committed the unpardonable sin. God wants all to be saved. Right here. I've had this on the wall at the truck stop for many years. 7,000 year plan. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. God is not willing that any perish. If he gives you his Holy Spirit too much and you reject, you've committed the unpardonable sin. He doesn't want you to commit the unpardonable sin. He will give a chance for salvation to all mankind. Everybody. All the dead. All 50 billion of them.
So eventually everybody has to hear and make their decision.
Positively correct. During the millennium that will happen. We do not know how many resurrections there will be during the millennium. I'll get to that in a minute. If I am convinced, if I've been thinking about something for 50 years and I pray to God for His Holy Spirit to reveal truth to me and He gives me an answer when I'm in meditation, it's not the devil. There are three spirits you need to be aware of. Three, and only three, can give you a dream. Your human subconscious is most. Most of your dreams are 99% that. God can give you a dream. Satan can give you God can give you a vision. Or Satan can give you a vision. Now, whether he has to have permission from God every time, I don't know. We talked to one of the men here. It might be a good idea to pray silently. That way, Satan can't hear what you're praying.
Yeah.
It's worth thinking about. Satan can hear, but he doesn't know your thoughts. How does he put thoughts in your mind? That's another subject. We're not going there today. Some people object to a resurrection of damnation. They object to a resurrection of damnation. Daniel 12, verse 2, write this down. It's not on here, so you know after this. See, part of what you should learn while at the Feast of Tabernacles, you're supposed to learn a bunch of information so you can teach others. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Ordain that they may teach others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Teach others. The whole world must become Christian. Now, you got to be careful how you say that, because it sounds like you're condemning all of them. Well, let God do the condemning. You just teach truth.
Can you give us the definition of resurrection of damnation?
Resurrection of damnation is when the unrepentant are thrown into the lake of fire. It's just that simple. Daniel 12, verse 2. The resurrection, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. That covers two resurrections. In between are other resurrections. There have to be, guys. There's a 7,000-year plan for the earth. That's the reason for 7 days in the week. There's not 7,100. You cannot find that in the Bible. 7,000 years. John 5, verse 29. A resurrection of damnation in the King James. I believe the New King James calls it condemnation, when they are condemned to the lake of fire and they're dead. They burn up. They cease to exist. They turn to ashes. And that fire will be hotter than hell. Because I've been accused of not believing in hell. Oh, I believe in a fire, and the fire that I believe in is one the Bible teaches is hotter than hell.
Are they dead spiritually also?
Totally correct.
Are they burned to ashes?
Yeah.
Easy to remember. Last chapter of the Old Testament. When you talk to people about hell, death, etc., the wicked will become ashes under the soles of your feet. So that fire is hotter than a crematory. I'm saying that somewhat jokingly and somewhat seriously, because I've been at a crematory when they rake out the bones. That's all they have is bones. The water evaporates, the fat burns, the flesh burns. There's an overweight woman in Kansas City a few years ago destroyed a crematory. A dead woman destroyed a crematory. She was so overweight, when they turned on the crematory, her fat melted and ran out the door and caused a grease fire and warped the whole thing. They weren't there watching. They just turned it on and let the gas jets burn. But in the end, all you get is ground bones. I took the cremains to a woman one time, family whose daughter was overweight and in a wheelchair and so forth. And they seemed surprised that the cremains all fit in this small box because she was so grossly overweight. Well, it was water that evaporated or fat that burned. All you get is bones. So, in the last chapter of Malachi, the wicked become ashes. They burn up and cease to exist. That matches Revelation 20, verse 5. I want to read that one. Because I prayed about 2 months consecutively for Revelation 20, verse 5, 2 years ago. What I had been taught did not match what's in the Bible. There's a 1,000-year millennium coming. By the way, why are there 7 days to the millennium, to the Feast of Tabernacles? Anybody can raise your hand. This is out of the... Nobody... Everybody knows?
7 years. We already did 6,000 years. We're going to do the 7th in the millennium reign.
Because there's a 7,000-year plan for the earth is what I think. You got it. Revelation 20, verse 4, saints reign with Christ 1,000 years. There's only 1,000 years to the millennium, folks. Now, verse 5. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are over. They missed the millennium. You know what? I'm guilty of what I sometimes do. At the truck stop, we get started talking. I forgot to ask. It's time right now to ask for God's Spirit to help you understand this. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity of being here this morning. We do ask for your Spirit. Help us to not be stubborn. Help us to get rid of old ideas that are wrong and accept new ideas. Help us to learn from one another. Thank you for the good weather we've had at this feast, and thank you for this room that we can study and discuss and learn more of your word. And we do thank you for your word, and thanks for giving it to us. And above all, thank you for your Spirit, the greatest gift of all. So help us to just be here with us and help us and guide us. In the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Better late than never. Yes, sir?
What was the parallel verse with Revelation 20, verse 5?
Daniel 12, 2, and Matthew, John 5, 29, a resurrection of damnation. Daniel 12.
Malachi's ashes.
Malachi, when you turn to you won't turn to ashes, hopefully, but the wicked will. See, I used to love to discuss religion. Well, I still do.
No.
I love it. I can make people grin a little bit. I said I never discuss religion or politics, and if they know me well enough, it makes them grin a little bit. I used to like. Back when beer was $1 a six-pack, and I was single, about 54, 55 years ago, I loved to discuss religion with a Catholic. And I forgot everything he ever said, except one sentence. He said, "I hope Martin Luther is burning in hell right now." Now, why? Think logically about this. Why would a good guy hope that Martin Luther... the 1500s Martin Luther, is burning in this torture chamber right now because he thought he was in the one true church. You ever thought that?
Yes.
Some in this room have thought, I was in the one true church for a long time. And therefore he thought that Martin Luther was the cause of all these Protestants. No, no, no. This book did a whole lot more than Martin Luther. The printing press did a whole lot more than Martin Luther. We do not know whether Gutenberg was inspired by God or whether that was the spirit of man. But he had a burning desire to invent movable type, what we call the printing press. The first book ever printed was the Bible. So we could all have one. Use it. Okay, we're in Revelation 20, verse 5. These people missed the first resurrection. Now, the last sentence, the second sentence, doesn't belong there. It really belongs in verse 6 because it's introducing the first resurrection. Understand? You've got two resurrections in this chapter, 1,000 years apart. The first, you want. The last, you don't want. You burn up and cease to exist if you're in the first sentence of Revelation 20, verse 5.
Did you mention resurrections during the millennium,
though,
earlier?
I did. And I'm there right now.
Okay.
Between the first and the last are the resurrections of G-R-A-C-E. All of you know 7 is a complete number.
Yes.
We just saw there's a first and a last resurrection. What number in your what number represents grace?
7.
5. 5 and 2 is 7. So there's 5 resurrections during the millennium. I don't care if I'm the only person at this feast site who believes that. I hope there's a few more believe that when they walk out this door. You don't have to believe it this morning. Surely all Israel will be in one resurrection. The people before the flood could be in a resurrection. I just know that all the dead will be resurrected. And I know that 5 and 2 is 7. And I know that 7 is a complete number. And I know that there's a first and a last in Revelation 20, verse 5. I prayed about that specifically. Help me understand this. It doesn't add up. It doesn't match. God gave me the answer that the first sentence is the resurrection of damnation. They're thrown into the lake of fire. They cease to exist. That's part of the sheet that I did not talk about. That you should probably have the eighth day. I am very happy that this feast site teaches and believes. I could say this, and it could sound wrong. They teach and believe what I believe about the eighth day. Either that or I believe and teach what they teach and believe about the eighth day. The eighth day was shown to us as I on the article. Noah was on the ark. 7 days, no rain. That represented 7,000 years. Then on the eighth day, all were killed except the ones were saved. And we have a new beginning. After 7,000 years, again, all the dead will be destroyed except those that are saved. Spiritually this time, first time physically on the ark, second time spiritually, we'll have a glorious body, as the Apostle Paul talked about. That's the end of the eighth day, and you have a new beginning in Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 20, verse 15, thrown into the lake of fire. Your name must be added to the book of life, or else you're thrown into that lake of fire. And you will burn up and cease to exist. You will be asleep. When I explained that to one woman, I said, the wicked will just burn up, be gone, cease to exist. You know what she said? Well, that'd be too nice. Really? She thought she was going to get to go to heaven. And all the rest of you dirty dogs, I want you suffering in the fire, torture chamber for eternity. Because that's what she said. Just burning up, becoming ashes, that's too nice. Now, there are people who think, well, that's, I've had a lot of guys tell me, well, you know, too bad. You just burn up and you're gone. Look, God wants us to come to Him out of love, not fear of hell. The world teaches the fear of hell. I saw one video where they had a fire truck in front of a house doing nothing. Just watching it burn. So would you do that? What he meant was, we should be out there saving souls so they don't go to this torture chamber and be there for eternity. Guys, the truth is wonderful. It really is. It makes sense. Yes, sir. Where are we?
Yes. It says the rest of the dead. There's the first resurrection, and then it says the rest of the dead. That means all the rest, right?
The rest that haven't been resurrected.
Yes.
Okay.
So where is room for the five?
That's correct. 1 Corinthians 15:23. I must deal with that verse. I must. M-U-S-T. Extremely important. All of you know 1 Corinthians 15. Well, you probably know. It's pretty much a resurrection chapter. There were Sadducees who did not believe in a resurrection. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians about, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, because that's the whole hope of the Christian, to be resurrected for eternal life. Paul said, if he hadn't been resurrected, then your faith is vain, because that's what it's all about. But in verse 23, he said, each in his own order. The word order in Greek was a military term meaning several. A troop of soldiers. That's the key that ought to make you understand the truth of Revelation and the resurrections. Several will be resurrected between the first and the resurrection of damnation. I think five. You don't have to believe that this morning. Doesn't bother me a bit. But I've thought about this for 60 years. What I told you earlier, one of the first questions I asked 65 years ago, what happens to the Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist? For some coincidental reason, I have had the opportunity to talk to Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists. Talking to a Hindu once about coming back, which reincarnation, I says, he said, we don't always come back as a human. I said, what if you come back as an ant and I step on you? He said, well, then it's over fast and we come back again. He's happy, and he smiled, and he's happy believing that. I asked a Buddhist if they did anything about evangelism. He said, we don't have to. Eventually, the whole world will be Buddhist because we keep coming back. I asked him about suicide. Well, in their belief, if you have done something real bad and you've disgusted your, it's disgusting. You've hurt your family. Well, the good news is you can commit suicide and start over, according to some Buddhists. Wow. I told other Buddhists that, and I said, well, we don't believe that. But, not all Sabbatarians believe the same thing either. And we ought to be closer than anybody. You realize that? We ought to be closer than all those guys out there that call themselves Protestants and Catholics. So let's have more unity among Sabbatarians. That's what I would love to see. In Kansas City, where I lived close by there was a theater building years ago for sale. Five separate buildings, theaters. I thought, man, if I had the money, I'd buy that. I'd have Sabbath services there for all the different groups. Well, it would match my philosophy. That's what's beautiful about this feast site. You had a choice this morning of here or two other breakout sessions. Question.
I was always told that people that committed suicide would go to hell. Do you believe
that?
No. It's self-murder.
Well, you know the old saying, don't open up a can of worms.
Unless you want to get wormy.
But there are people who think that. One church taught that it's the unpardonable sin. That can't be right. Suicide can be very selfish. Very, very selfish. But getting a heart transplant at the age of 71, like Dick Cheney did, can also be very, very selfish. Didn't say it's wrong. It's just selfish. You're not going to live forever. Well, yeah, you are. Somebody told me that one time. I said, I'm old enough to die from old age. And somebody said, oh, Arlo, you'll probably live forever. I said, well, yeah, but you got to die first. So, no, it may aggravate some people that suicide is terrible. And it is terrible if you're 35 years old and have a family to raise. It's wrong. In fact, I was asked that once by a truck driver. His wife was sitting at the same table. He wanted to know what I thought about suicide. They had kids. He says, it runs in the family. It does. I know it does. But I still had to tell him, it's absolutely wrong for you. You got kids, you got a wife. But would I tell that to a 95-year-old who's got terminal pain, who's going to be a burden to the taxpayer, who's broke? That's his decision. Besides that, you don't know what goes on up here. Many of you have known who I am quite a few years. It's very possible none of you know me. You don't know what all goes on up here. It's like a driver who told me, I don't have any friends. I have some acquaintances. You don't know how many friends you have. I hope you never find out. And I mean, that's, you may snicker at that, but I really mean that. I hope you never have to find out how many real, genuine friends you have.
Most of us don't know what it
is. Yes.
Since you mentioned, Arlo, about the five resurrections, I would like to know what are the reasons for the five resurrections, because we do know that when Christ returns, there will be the resurrection of the dead in Christ. And then, of course, be reigning with him for 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, the rest of the dead will be resurrected. So why the five resurrections between that time?
Okay, I wrote down one word, confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Why would he wait till the end of the millennium and resurrect 50 billion people? Why not do it in an orderly manner, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:23, each in his own order? Let Jesus decide how the resurrections occur. Surely Israel will be in one resurrection to teach all the others. The Sunday people who think they're baptized are not going to be in the first resurrection. No. Jesus said, you must be immersed to be in the kingdom. The first resurrection is only for those who are dead in Christ. I got to repeat, I'm not condemning them to a lake of fire. I'm saying they'll be resurrected. The 13-year-old girl in Colorado who was killed by this jerk teenage boy at school. She was asked by the boy, you believe in God? She said, yes. Shot her. Killed her. She's going to be resurrected. I don't know when. I don't need to know. But if she wasn't immersed, she won't be in the first. I know that on the authority of Jesus Christ and the Bible. It won't be the last, because that's the resurrection of damnation. Which of the other five? I do not know. A woman who had an abortion 5 times. They've all got to be resurrected. Brought back to life. There is one place in Isaiah 65 verse 20. I've heard it discussed. And I want to read it right now because it fits. Isaiah 65 verse 20. It's a 100-year time, in case you don't have a Bible or don't want to turn to it. Isaiah 65, verse 20. I'll just read it first out of King James or New. This is regular. There shall no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. I know the answer to this, guys. God gave me the answer. You may think I'm bragging or being egotistical or arrogant, but read what Paul said. I hope I can get to you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. Sounds pretty arrogant, doesn't it? But he knew he had the Spirit of God. Now, the easiest part of this verse is the sinner being accursed at the end of 100 years. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. No doubt about that. Because if you die today, you die as a sinner or a saint. That's a fact. That's biblical. I'm not making anything up this morning, guys. Now, the child shall die 100 years old. This is the last 100 years of the millennium. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. It's the last 100 years of the millennium. How do I know? Verse 19, and God's Spirit. Verse 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard. Again, think logically. No more weeping. Will there be weeping during the millennium? Of course. Babies will fall and hurt themselves. People will have accidents. Will we have car accidents? Well, I don't know if we'll have cars. But if we have cars, there will be car accidents in the millennium. Sure there will be. Because they're going to be human, making mistakes. They'll hit their finger with a hammer. Not on purpose. But they'll make mistakes. We're human. Babies will be born by the billions during the millennium. You won't live long enough to have 50 kids like Adam and Eve. Or they won't. And I didn't make that up either. I read by Jewish tradition they had over 50 kids. See, some people are bothered by Cain. Where'd Cain get his wife? Well, God had to have two creation periods. Cain went over to the land of Nod and found a woman. No. Your Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. How can you be a Christian and not believe the Bible? How can you be a Christian and not believe in 6 days of creation? You can't be Christian and believe in the false religion called evolution. It's a religion. It's a lie. I don't care if I teach it as if it's fact. The dinosaur didn't become extinct 65 million years ago. They're still on the earth. They're called alligators and lizards. They just don't live 1,200 years like they did before the millennium. That's why you don't see big ones. Only little ones. Now, I'm hoping, seriously, hoping and believing that during the millennium, the alligator and lizard will live 1,000 years. And some of these atheists and agnostics are going to be resurrected. They're going to see dinosaurs. It's my opinion, of course. Noah's Ark is going to be a museum. I've already applied to be tour guide on it. Because I want the authority from God to shut their mouth and open their ears. Say, this is it, guys. You think there was no Noah's Ark?
The unpardonable sin. Yahshua says it won't be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. But how about ages after that? And question. Here comes the millennium period. The millennium ends in Revelation with kings and rulers still ruling, with Messiah on the throne, and evil still exists big time. Yahweh wouldn't exist throughout eternity with evil still there. And death is there, the second death, but yet when we get to 1 Corinthians 15, kings and rulers are no longer ruling. The kingdom has been turned over to Yahweh. He's all in all, no longer any need for kings and rulers. Messiah is no longer on the throne. And evidently evil no longer exists. It's Yahweh is then all in all. And if folks are burned up in the lake of fire, annihilated, then Yahweh has...
My clock... I'm not being rude. I'm just holding up my watch. To solve your dilemma, all you have to do is believe the Messiah. He said it won't be forgiven, neither in this age nor the age to come. That's eternity. All you have to believe is the Bible. Other questions? I hope I didn't answer that sarcastically, but to me it's obvious. It's
You mentioned that in the resurrection, the dead in Christ would rise. How does that? In what order do the people before Christ rise?
King David, Jeremiah. When do they?
They will be in the first. His question: guys like Jeremiah, when will they be resurrected? That's pretty easy. The dead in Christ will rise first, to be in the first resurrection. That's Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, all the good guys. You see, there's three harvest seasons. Three. One, two, three. Deuteronomy 16. 16. Three times a year, all your males appear. Three harvest seasons. From creation up to Pentecost, very few were given God's Spirit. From that's season number one. From Pentecost to now is season number two. In season number two, God has called some, but not many. Season number three, during the 1,000 years, Jesus was there. This is why I was so excited to learn about the water pouring ceremony. It had to match what I've been believing or trying to believe for 20 years, but couldn't get it out. The water pouring ceremony on how many days during the feast?
Seven.
Seven? That reminds me of a verse in...
It's all during the festival.
Okay. That represents Joel 2, verse 28 being fulfilled. I will pour out my Spirit on all humans. Flesh means human. When Jesus said things are going to get so bad in the future, nobody left alive. No flesh saved alive means no human. When Isaiah says all flesh will keep the Sabbath and new moons, that means 100% of humans. Jesus became flesh. That means 100% human. He gave up being God. It's 1 John 4. It's Antichrist to not believe that. Jesus was never called God till after the resurrection. He was the Son of God, Son of Man. That doesn't make him have schizophrenia. He called himself the Son of Man more than any other title. He was also the Son of God. He was the Son of Man because he was a human born of a woman. He was the Son of God because he did not have a human father. But that didn't make him with a split personality. He was tempted to sin. God cannot be tempted. Now, we can get angry. It's okay to get angry. Just don't get angry at me for this morning. Is there a hand up? It's about 10:31.